the assault on the family continues, and there is some outrageous censorship in America, in England. You need to hear about it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I have been eagerly waiting for Monday to come. I had a great weekend, blessed weekend, fruitful weekend, enjoyable weekend, but I have been waiting for Monday to come because my heart is overflowing with things I want to talk to each of you about. They burn in my heart, and my outlet is to talk to you about them. Why? So that together we can make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I don't know how many times I've said just when you think you've heard it all and there's nothing else you can hear that's going to surprise you, you hear something else that surprises you and shocks you. That's what's happened with me in these last few days, and I want to talk to you about it. I want to say at the outset, my heart burns for revolution. Let me say it again plainly. My heart burns for revolution. Not a social political revolution fought with earthly methods, not a revolution where we just elect different people in and we get some changes in parties, and certainly not a revolution based on human anger, hatred, intimidation, force, God forbid. No, I burn to see a Jesus revolution. God's people so radically changed, God's people living according to the scripture, God's people living in harmony with the high calling that we have, full of the Spirit, devoted to the Lord, living lives that shine, that are different, that through the change that comes in us, change would come to the nation. I cannot just exist with the status quo. God didn't call me to do that. God didn't wire me to do that. God didn't send me to do that. The burden on my heart and the burden in many of your hearts is to see glorious gospel change. And when we recognize the radical changes that have come against biblical values, against foundational family values, when we realize the real attempts that are out there for overt censorship, I'll talk to you about that later in the broadcast, then you say, okay, we need a revolution. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. I am absolutely committed to local churches. I am absolutely committed to working with leadership in the body. I am absolutely committed to gathering together and worshiping and praying and preaching the word and ministering and all of those things. But I'm saying more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. And we are in so many ways going backwards spiritually, morally, socially, that the awakening must begin within us. And when the awakening begins within us, things will change around us. Oh, yes, and there will be opposition. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to weigh in. Right after the break, I'm going to be speaking with Deanna Jones. She is the author of a book, To Be a Mother, Adopting God's Heart. I'll be talking to Deanna right in the next segment, and this is on the heels of the comments, the unfortunate comments made by Democratic strategist Hillary Rosen. So I'm going to share some shocking news with you a little later in the broadcast, but first we're going to focus on things that happened over the last week. Democratic strategist Hillary Rosen commenting about Ann Romney and saying that she had never worked a day in her life. Now, the defense was, well, she was talking about economic things and could Mitt Romney get counsel from his wife on economic things. She's never worked a day in her life. Obviously, there has been an onslaught of criticism. She had to apologize. The president could have chosen stronger words. He simply said that her comments were ill-advised. But others are attacking her. A story in the Washington Post calls Ann Romney a wealthy stay-at-home mom. LA Times says Romney boxed himself in with policies women can't possibly like. The president of NOW, National Organization for Women, says that Ann Romney and her husband lack life experience. We'll talk to Deanna Jones when we come back.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the whole attack on Ann Romney's never worked a day in her life, and then the firestorm surrounding that is just typical of a lot of the pressure attack that has come against women for decades now, with the rise of feminism, radical feminism in the late 60s, certain positive steps were taken in terms of equal pay for a woman doing the same job as a man. It's not entirely there across the board, but in many ways it's there. The dignity of a woman in other ways than being a mother. At the same time, there has been a complete attack in our society for decades in so many different ways about the highest dignity of all in terms of a woman's calling to be a mother, something that only she can enjoy, something no man can ever enjoy, something intended by God on a foundational level. And Katie Pavlik, writing on townhall.com, said the attack against Ann Romney was predictable because she's capable of connecting to women on a very personal level. She's a breast cancer survivor, lives with multiple sclerosis, raised 5 children, has 16 grandchildren, and has been happily and faithfully married to a successful businessman for 40 years. My guest, Deanna Jones, author of the book, To Be a Mother, Adopting God's Heart. Deanna, thanks so much for coming on the broadcast with us today.
Thanks so much for having me here today, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
Well, Deanna, does this surprise you in terms of not just the Hillary Rosen comments for which she's apologized, but the general attitude of so many in society that somehow a stay-at-home mom is this person doesn't work, or this person is less of a person of experience than someone in the workforce? Does this surprise you that this is so widespread in our culture today?
I really wish I could say that it surprises me, but it totally is predictable, in my opinion. I am a byproduct of basically the lies of the feminist movement. My book, To Be a Mother, is really titled because of a conversation that I had with one of my great aunts as a child. She said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And this is, you know, I said, "I want to be a mother." I mean, this is years ago. And the comment was, "No, you can be anything you want. Why would you want to be just a mother?" This dialogue has gone on with me my entire life. And it created probably one of the worst life choices that I've ever had. And when I got a little bit older, I believed that being a mother was second best. And so when I became pregnant as a young teen, I had a great job as a singer at Disney World. And I became pregnant and I chose to abort my baby. And from there, and truly in my mind, even though I wanted to keep this child, that was, it influenced me to make this choice, because there, on the other hand, I was also told it's no big deal. It was totally a big deal. It destroyed my life. So much had happened from there, and it was totally unexpected. But then the Lord came, healed me, and birthed the ministry in me. I'm now the proud mother of 7 children, 2 by birth, 3 who I have adopted from Ethiopia, who were orphaned due to AIDS. And then 1 child who's HIV positive, and then another child who was born to a 14-year-old Guatemalan mother. So the rhetoric that I hear, typical.
Yeah, I was just saying what a transformation, what a change, not just from where you were, but to where you are. Deanna, we have many of our grads who live in Europe. Some are native Europeans, some are serving there as missionaries. And they find if they have a couple of kids, or having a third kid or a fourth kid, that people come up to them, "What's the matter with you? These are Christians." Yeah. And, you know, and yeah. They pity you. And then in China, of course, with the one child per family policy, and the emphasis just has to be a male, and the problems that's creating there. So do you have people, obviously there are many in our society that hear your testimony and they're amazed, 7 kids, the adopted kids, the wow. Do you have others who look at you like something's the matter with you, or you poor lady, or what's wrong with you and your family?
I think that not only is the mother under attack, but large families are under attack.
Yes, yes.
And regarding Ann Romney, this is just basically, there's so much wrong with this. Number one, I call it phantom feminism, just when you think that the story is dead. The mommy war has been dead. We all will agree that working mothers and stay-at-home moms are all productive but it's a matter of your what you're really worshiping. What are we worshiping? If we worship God and we worship the Word of God, then we are to go and take care of the least of these. Even the president quoted that scripture when he was, you know, campaigning. But the truth is that there's more worship than this kind of feminist belief that we're not even aware of it. But the Word of God has told us to go out and take care of them. So of the least of these, and there are 163 million orphans. We have 25 million people that have been enslaved. Abortion is run rampant. The truth is that even this women's issue, and I don't minimize this at all, I think it's very, very important, but it's a red herring in a sense that ultimately the real focus needs to be on the children. Mm-hmm. So there are many of us that are adopting many because people are choosing fewer and fewer to have fewer and fewer children. But why? It's because of this message and this rhetoric that we're hearing that is seeping into us and into our consciousness. You know, the Lord, I found a scripture recently that I know applies to Israel, but I believe it applies to us individually as well. It's in Luke 23:27, and it says, this is right when Jesus is about to be crucified, and he speaks out to them, and he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.'" Mm. Ultimately, we have been, the Lord himself has prophesied this into us and told us this will happen when we minimize the importance of caring for the least of these. So the bottom line is that it's not about working mothers or stay-at-home moms. It's about what we can do and for the least of these, and we're not activating that enough. If we are the bride of Christ, then we will go and we will mother the world. The church needs to stand up to that. Ann Romney, the accusation is that because of her demographic of being a wealthy woman, she can't minister to other people. Well, that's just false as well.
Right, because, or she can't have business sense. Or I was even watching a discussion on CNN, and they said, look, even to say that she's a stay-at-home mom or that she works hard, she probably was wealthy enough to hire all these other people to clean toilets for her. So therefore, she's not even qualified to be a legitimate stay-at-home mom. So the attack is larger in that sense. But let's just step back and look at one thing. I've focused a lot on homosexual activism in recent years because of the unique assault on the family, the unique assault on children, the unique assault on religious liberties, freedom of conscience, so on. But there's a larger assault on the family as a whole, on children, on motherhood, fatherhood. Deanna, how far back would you trace the shift in our culture, in our thinking here in America?
Oh, my goodness. How far back? I don't know. I know. I hate to go back to the whole feminist movement, but it's really crucial to understand feminist history in order to understand this, because the whole marriage situation really does come from this belief that we can get taken away from the whole biblical principles. And one, way before the Simone de Beauvoir, she called housewives parasites, and then also, They had this declaration of feminism in 1971, and I believe this belief was before that, but it said the end of institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. Therefore, it's important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not to live individually with men. All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of women. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft. And Sheila Cronin, who is a feminist leader, also said, since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. So if we think that this attack on marriage is not connected to feminist belief, then we are mistaken. Women these days, young women, may not be walking out saying, I'm a feminist, or, in fact, many actually that I know don't really like the term. But the truth is that this generation is paying for this philosophy that has been inbred into the mind. Just like me, when I'm sitting there having a conversation as a little girl saying, I want to be a mother, and it's a subtle thing. You can be anything you want. Why do you want to be a mother? Or when I walk out with my seven children, and people go, wow, how can anybody have that many kids? You know, the thing is that we have forgotten who we are called to be. As women, and not even just as women, as Christians, we are called to go out and spread the gospel. And what is it? What did Jesus represent? He sacrificed everything for those who are lost. You know, and he told his disciples, leave it all and follow me. You know,
yeah, and Deanna, just to jump in because we have a break, the calling to motherhood then is sacrificial, but it's glorious.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Fulfilling the book, To Be a Mother, Adopting yes. God's Heart. Deanna Jones, To Be a Mother, Adopting God's Heart. Reading the book might just change your life. God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I live with a sense of calling, purpose. Last night I was communing with the Lord saying, God, I live to see Jesus' revolution. I cannot just live with the status quo in the church or in the world. But then there are things that happen that further inflame, ignite, stir the fire in my own heart. There are things that happen in society that further stir me to speak up and to speak out. And that's what we're doing today on the Line of Fire broadcast, serving as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Tell me what you think of this news from Rhode Island. It happened about 10 days ago, but I only became aware of it at the end of last week. Are you ready? A 17-year-old girl, and we're continuing on the theme of the attack on the family, the assault on the family, and my appreciation to Deanna Jones for joining us and talking about what it means to be a mother. So much more we could have discussed about that. But Rhode Island, 17-year-old student artist Liz Berendi painted a mural. You look at the mural, and it's a little boy and growing up and going through stages of life, and then it ends with he and his wife and a child, and they're married with wedding rings, and okay, that's the mural, right? She paints it for the school. Are you ready? Are you ready? The school officials said that they were going to paint over the mural. Oh, no, not the whole mural, only the end. Friends, this is what society is trying to do. This is what the world is trying to do. Not every person, but I'm talking about the spirit of the world opposing biblical values and opposing biblical family values and opposing male-female foundations and the foundation of marriage. They were going to paint over the mural, but what part? Only the part where the boy is now married with a child. Why? Are you ready? According to school officials, the depiction of the family wasn't representative of the life experience of many of the students. Yeah, you heard me right. The depiction of the family wasn't representative of, quote, the life experiences of many of the students. They may not end up growing up getting married. Or they may not end up getting married to a man or a woman. Maybe it'd be the same sex, or who knows what kind of family arrangement they'll have. And therefore, they're going to paint over it because it was considered offensive. Aside from the extraordinary hypocrisy of the fact that schools can have gay day celebrations and gay pride celebrations and gay history celebrations and on, and that's perfectly fine. And you can have presentations in the hallways, and you can have all kinds of paintings and artwork and celebrating this one or that one who's a gay or lesbian hero, and that's fine. Aside from the hypocrisy of that, this is insanity. The assistant principal approached the 17-year-old, who, by the way, was raised in a single-parent home herself and does not appear to be Christian in terms of her speech or what she's saying. In other words, she's not saying, hey, I hold to this deeply convicted about the family. No. The assistant principal approached her and asked her to look at other ways to show the outcome of the subject's progression to adulthood. I bet if she had him marrying another man and now they've adopted a baby and they've got a little baby in a bassinet or something or in a stroller, that she would have been praised for her courage and her creativity. They asked her to take the weekend to think about any changes to the original sketch. So she ended up deciding, you know, I'm going to leave it the way it is. But she said, I felt bad because I didn't want to offend anyone. I was scared that maybe it would go out to our homosexual community and didn't want them to get in an uprising because I was not trying to preach that that's the right thing to do at all. Oh, come on. You can't have a mural in a school with a picture of a boy growing up and when he grows up, he gets married and has a kid without fear of quote, an uprising in the homosexual community. And then other students saying, well, this is not the outcome for many of us. This is absolute nonsense, friends. And this is an attempted, censorship, covering over a mural, call it what you want to call it. Here's a report. News 9's Kelly Ogle questioned, this is Rhode Island, News 9's Kelly Ogle questioned why the depiction of wedding rings caused controversy in the first place. You're not incensed by the depiction of the traditional nuclear family or the two wedding rings above the family, then you're insensitive. Oh, you've got to be outraged over this. A Cafe Mom blogger, Jacqueline Burt, observed that there's never a right answer. So let me get this straight. Kids are just as likely to get into trouble for aligning themselves with mainstream lifestyle choices as they are with alternative ideas. What are they supposed to do? Exactly. Article concludes by saying, today nearly one of four children are born to parents who live together but aren't married, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Therefore what? Therefore you don't celebrate marriage? Therefore you don't celebrate a mom and a dad coming together, a man and a woman coming together and becoming a mom and dad? You're going to cover that up in the schools? I mean, honestly, how do you feel when you hear that? When you hear a report like that, Rhode Island, this is not Timbuktu, this is part of our United States, Rhode Island. How do you feel when you hear a report like that? 866-34-TRUTH. You get angry? You get shocked? You get grieved? You say, well, that's it. Jesus must be coming any minute. Or do you think, oh, okay, I guess when you sound the alarm, Mike, I guess when you tell us we need to wake up to what's happening in society, that things really are urgent. There's unbelievable censorship taking place in England. I'm going to cover that, get into that in the next half hour, and really the next hour and a half. So if you're unable to catch the rest of the program, catch it later online, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. And let me encourage every one of you to do something this week, all right? We are making available at the lowest price ever a 12-hour teaching series I did on spiritual warfare. It's been used for years. It's on a CD for your MP3 player or your computer. 12 hours of teaching, 8 different talks. This is a book of war, the flesh, the world, and the devil, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, 5 rules for God's army, the weapon of praise, overcoming the devil. God is fighting for you. I mean, eye-opening, life-changing, practical stuff that everyone can put into effect. You can listen to it on your MP3 player, your iPod. You can listen to it on your computer. It's a $20 series plus postage. Get it today for just $10 and we'll pay the postage. We are in a spiritual battle. We're not fighting people. The same devil that hates the feminists hates you. The same devil that hates the homosexual community hates you. The same devil that hates the Muslims hates you. Our enemy is the devil who's out to destroy the human race and destroy biblical foundations. So we need to be equipped, friends. $10, postage paid. Call today to order 1-800-278-9978. Some of the most practical, life-changing teaching you'll ever hear. 1-800-278-9978. But I want to invite every one of you that calls, if you can sow an additional gift to help us with this broadcast. Again, it's being multiplied these days by an anonymous donor who's helping spread these funds. We need to move forward with our radio outreach. So every one of you call or order 1-800-278-9978. And if you can give an additional gift to help with this broadcast, that would be awesome. Jesus will prevail through you and through me.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No, not backing down, not putting a muzzle on my lips here so as to not speak anymore, not changing subjects to something more politically acceptable. No, we're sounding the alarm once again about the all-out assault on marriage, on family, on kids in our society from 100 different angles. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. We've got some really special programming all this week. Tomorrow, we'll be getting into the subject of grace, what grace really does and is. When we get saved, does God forgive our future sins? And what's my take on the new book by Pastor Steve Brown, Three Free Sins? That'll be tomorrow. And then Wednesday, be answering a very important email, a very fair email from a man who identifies as a gay Christian male, challenged me on some things. Thursday, we'll be talking about Kosher Jesus by Rabbi Shmuley. Why can't we accept his presentation of Jesus? Jesus is a Jewish patriot who dies fighting against Rome. And of course, your questions, as always, on Friday. So a lot of neat things will be happening this week on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Before I go to England and talk about outright censorship there, I want to talk about the insanity that's taking place in Rhode Island, Rhode Island High School. I mentioned it in the last segment, 17-year-old girl Liz Berendi, a student artist. She draws a mural. This is for the school. She draws a mural, and here's little boy growing up. And it's very nicely done, and here he is growing up, and now he's a little bit older. He's carrying a guitar. Now he's a little bit older, and he's got his baseball hat on backwards, and what, maybe he's got, I can't see, is it a book in his hand, or is it an iPad in his hand, or something like that. Then he's graduating. He's in a whole cap and gown, and now here he is. He's married to a woman, and there is a boy. So it's kind of repeating the cycle of life, and their wedding rings over their head. Now, cover up the last part. The school actually considered covering up the last part because it was considered offensive. Again, it doesn't represent the life experiences of many of the students. There was concern. The students were upset. Some of the parents were upset. How dare this school have a mural like this? Well, hang on for a second. Why wasn't there a protest about the kid graduating? Not everybody graduates from high school. Not everybody graduates from college. Why wasn't that considered outrageous? Wait a second. He's carrying a guitar. What about kids that aren't musical? What about kids that have no musical aptitude? What about the kid that tried to play guitar and couldn't? What about the kid that prefers piano? What about the kid that prefers drums? How? And it's a boy. Why a boy? I mean, doesn't that speak against women? You could see how absolutely, utterly absurd this whole thing is. They wanted her to reconsider the presentation. And is there another way that she could depict the final outcome? Well, maybe have two men. This guy's got a partner. Or maybe a man and two women. They're polyamorous. Or maybe just the man and the boy to depict a single-parent home. Or the couple, but conspicuously with no wedding rings over their heads or on their fingers to show that they're living together out of wedlock. Why not depict all of those? Friends, this is insanity. And we dare not just go, this one school in Rhode Island. No, friends, this is reflective of thinking that it is growing at epidemic proportions in our schools. Hey, while this is happening, Montgomery County high schools in all Montgomery County public schools will receive flyers this week. This is last week, telling them that there is nothing wrong with being gay and sexual orientation is not something that can be changed. 50,000 flyers will be handed out. That's okay, because it's counteracting a negative message that was distributed a couple weeks before. Out. Outrageous. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what are your thoughts on this? You said, man, you get me stirred. Well, we should get stirred. And the first thing we do is go to prayer. The first thing we do is go to prayer and cry out to God for mercy on our nation and cry out to God for mercy on the church that we would awaken. Friends, we are products of our environment more than we realize. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are products of our environment more than we realize, by which I mean that the things around us shape our thinking more than we understand. That the news and the general media and Hollywood and the people around us and the opinions around us affect us more than we realize. It's like going into a smoke-filled room, and you don't smoke yourself, but you go into a smoke-filled room and you come out smelling like smoke. All of us. Well, let's just say me. I'll speak for myself. I know I can lose sensitivity by being in the culture I'm in. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're in a very modest culture. Let's say you live in Mennonite culture in Pennsylvania. Let's say that you live in a Muslim country and the dress is very, very modest, or a Hindu country and the dress is very, very modest. And then you come over to, say, New York City in summertime and you're shocked by people walking down the street. Let's say you're male. You're shocked by these ladies walking down the streets, you know, three quarters naked or nine tenths naked. You know, you're just shocked and grieved, and all the posters and billboards and all of this. But if you're around it enough, you can become insensitive to where it just becomes normal. Well, that's bad, but it becomes kind of normal. We can all be influenced by the culture that we're in. And the worst thing that could happen to us is that we lose sensitivity. The worst thing is not the total worst thing of all possible things, but I'm saying in terms of these moral issues, the worst thing that can happen is we lose our sensitivity and we're no longer grieved and we're no longer shocked. So we don't pray with urgency and we don't seek God with urgency and we don't stand up for what's right with passion and we don't live out what's right with passion. And then ultimately we can become like the world that we are in. 866-34-TRUTH. I still want to get to what's happening in England. Shocking news of censorship from England. But let's have some comments on this mural issue in Rhode Island. Patrick in Belmont, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hey, I was just wondering. I would love to know what the school would do if this girl... And the mural, let's say they had the boy draw up and start doing drugs, because most students at least experiment with marijuana and things like that. Like, let's say in the mural she had the boy start smoking crack or do heroin.
Let's just say smoking pot will make it even more innocuous, as people even try to argue that pot should be legalized. Yeah, what if she had that when the kid's about 16 years old, that he's smoking pot, or when he's 17 years old, that he's sleeping with his girlfriend, that's implied in the picture. I mean, it's a fair question, because that would be the outcome. Would they say, well, we want to discourage that behavior? But it's outrageous, though, isn't it? The whole thing is just mind-boggling. Does it surprise you, though?
The horrible thing is, it really doesn't surprise me. And just like you were saying about the dress in the city, I went into the city one day just to show what becomes normal. I was walking by, and there was this woman, almost naked. She had on underwear, and she had on little pieces of tape over her chest, little pieces. And there was three cops standing there. I said, excuse me, I was like, isn't that considered indecent exposure? They give me an attitude, say, well, look, she's covered up, she has tape on her. Actually gave me an attitude for asking a question. There's little kids walking by looking like it's nothing. The things that become normal to us is very scary.
Yeah, and, you know, I was checking out of the grocery the other day and just thought, everywhere you look, you got some bikini-clad lady Not only is it degrading to women and just making them into sexual objects, but you know, is that what you want your 3-year-old exposed to as you're checking out of the checkout counter? And is that what you want to be? You're going to a grocery store. Come on, yeah. You know, everyone's got to go to a grocery store. I think it's just everywhere. But again, these things happen because of our complacency, because of our lack of standing, and because of the lack of the recognition of God, lack of fear of God in the society. And Patrick, my guess is that technically that lady was not guilty of indecent exposure. I mean, it's shocking to hear, but I guess technically by the law, she wasn't. And what we were told in North Carolina when we raised some issues to the district attorney and police was that it's based on the community standard, certain laws, and that if the community standard rises, then they would prosecute certain things. And if the community standard doesn't, then they're completely overloaded with cases. Anyway, but Patrick, thanks for sharing that. Shocking, but not surprising. Yeah. Thanks for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, okay. England, there are a few different things I want to talk to you about when it comes to England. If you want to weigh in on the mural, I'll still take a few more comments. But let me first start with a larger picture, all right? I preached in England for the first time in 1987. My mom was born in Leeds, England, and we visited England a couple times when I was a boy. But then I went back as an adult. I preached in England the first time, 1987. And preached in a number of different cities, but I started in a city called Luton, England. And to my surprise, there was a prayer call in the morning from a mosque in Luton in 1987. And I asked the pastor, you know, what was that? And he said, it's amazing how things are swaying more and more to special rights to Muslims and discrimination against the church. He said, a church wanted to purchase a piece of property to build their building down the street here, and the city said no. And then a mosque asked if they could build a mosque, and the city said yes. And I was preaching there and just getting a sense of the rise of Islam in England. And I asked the question, this is 1987, while preaching there, who's to say that England will not become a Muslim country? Well, the looks on the faces of the people. Who's this American to raise this issue, kind of mocking me, laughing me to scorn? I mean, not that ugly, but just like, what? Are you kidding me? And then I said, just to kind of balance it, well, who's to say America can't become a communist nation? I was just saying something to balance the comment, to say, hey, look, anything could happen to any nation. But I was concerned about England in 1987. Now listen, there is a woman born and raised in Luton, and she's heard about how there has been so much, such a rise of Islamic radicalism. I'm not primarily talking about Islam today, but such a rise of Islamic radicalism in her city. So she went back to check, and there's a video where it's called Tip of the Iceberg, the Beginning of the End for Britain. It's got over 1,270,000 hits on YouTube as I look at it now. I've got the clip over here. Andrew, I just want to play this for you. She goes back to her city, and there is a march of radical Muslims down the street of her city. Listen to what she has to say.
It didn't take long to witness firsthand the extremism I've been hearing about. I wasn't sure what they were marching for, but tensions were running high.
Your sister, brother! Your mother!
All right, it goes on. It's very intense and worth watching. If you heard what they were chanting, UK, go to hell, British police, go to hell. You've got women marching down the street, completely covered except for their eyes. They were attacking some of the men, yelling at this woman that she was dressed in an immoral way. She's dressed modestly, if you see it, but of course not covered according to Islamic custom. And it is amazing. This is marching down the streets of Luton. My point is, friends, that when we see changes coming in society, if we don't respond properly, then we only have ourselves to blame when they become completely pervasive. Am I saying that there should be hatred of Muslims in England? No, not of course not. God forbid. But there should have been a recognition of where things were going. There should have been a recognition of the inequality of the decisions that were being made. And there should have been a recognition that when you continue to marginalize the church, when you continue to marginalize Christianity and the message of Jesus and the truth about God, that something else is going to fill that void. And now a former Anglican Archbishop has said that heavy-handed courts are persecuting Christians and driving them underground. Lord Carey said Christians are being treated like bigots and face the same sort of persecution homosexuals were once subjected to. Isn't that amazing? Those who were the oppressed become the oppressors. Back with your calls and further update from England when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, another day to sound the alarm, to raise my voice like a trumpet, Isaiah 58. Yeah, I'm doing this with purpose, friends, that our hearts would be stirred, that first we'd be driven to our knees. We'd search our own hearts, our own lives. I know if you and I live differently in our devotion to the Lord, that he will visit us, and as we are visited, we will impact our society with the truth and the goodness and the light and the love of God. Before I go back to the phones, here's the specific situation that got my attention in England. There was a campaign launched a few years ago in England, "Some People Are Gay, Get Over It." When the launch took place, according to Stonewall, which is the organization behind it, it was launched on 600 billboard panels. It was launched, a poster campaign appeared on 20 major railway stations, advertising screens, and on 3,500 interior bus panels in November 2009 for Anti-Bullying Week. Some People Are Gay, Get Over It. Well, a Christian group that believes that people can change launched their own campaign on the buses, which someone in England told me this is the new Morris Hill, the buses of England. There were atheistic campaigns. There's probably no God, you know, just enjoy life, be free, and then Christian messages. So here the pro-homosexual messages, some people are gay, get over it. So there was a poster campaign launched by a Christian organization, the Core Issues Trust, that said this: not gay, ex-gay, post-gay, and proud, get over it. So these were going to launch on buses all over England, and the mayor of England, Boris Johnson, shut it down. Yeah, shut it down. No, these will not be put on buses. I mean, you're talking about outright censorship, and then obviously pandering to a certain political climate that wants to go in a certain direction. And apparently this is the popular position to espouse, as he wants to be reelected. No, you can't have it. Here, you can have this. Thousands of these posters, fine, that say some people are gay, get over it. Okay, well, some people are not gay. They've come out of homosexuality. They're changed. They don't identify as gay anymore. Get over it. No. That will not be tolerated. London is too tolerant a city to tolerate other points of view. Friends, this is why we raise our voice. And back to Rhode Island, a mural depicting a boy grows up and now he's going to get married and have a kid. No, that's going to offend people. That's not the outcome for everyone. God help us. We need awakening, friends. We need revival. We don't just need another church program. We need revival, starting in our own hearts and lives, spreading to our church communities, our neighborhoods, our nation. That's the only hope of America. 866-34-TRUTH. Freddie in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Freddie.
I would love to turn the tables on that with the mural. I'll just make the comment and get off. I would like to say, how do you know the boy isn't bisexual? How do you know the girl isn't a transsexual in the picture? Now they're making the assumption.
Freddie, you're absolutely right. Maybe he's married to a man who had sex change surgery and just looks like a woman. Freddie, that's exactly right. How dare those people just assume this was a traditional couple? And wait a second. Maybe, Freddie, the man in the picture or the boy growing up is actually the woman. Maybe he had sex change surgery himself and he's the woman there. And the man that he's married to is not him. It's somebody else. This is not to attack those that go through these struggles and that struggle with their gender identity and their sexuality. I have nothing but compassion for those individuals and offer them hope through the gospel. Freddie, well said, man. Thank you. You say, that's crazy. He's just being sarcastic. He's just being a New York sarcastic. Well, number one, as New Yorkers, sarcasm's kind of in our blood. But yeah, exactly. Who knows what's behind that picture? Thank you, sir, for the wise call from Brooklyn. Do you care? Do you care? There's the radical attack from feminism. I believe you do care. I believe you do care. And that's why you listen to this broadcast. And that's why you carry some of the burdens that you do. I believe you do care. The attack of radical feminism on the family, on foundations, on womanhood and manhood, and on the beauty of the distinctions between them. I was looking at a report the other day that there were reports of more and more kids with gender identity confusion about their own gender identity. Should this surprise us? Should this surprise us that there's an increase? You say, well, we're just recognizing it more. I know some would argue for that, but perhaps there's more confusion in our society. There is more confusion in the way the kids are raised. There is more confusion about manhood and womanhood in the home. There is more confusion because of all the broken homes. There is more confusion because of the propaganda that's in our schools and that's in the media and that's constantly attacking these things. Of course, there is more confusion. When you read about a boy who's taking activist stances in his school about homosexual issues, and then you realize that he's got two moms, you say, okay, I commend the kid for wanting to take action as a little kid, as a 10 or 11-year-old kid, but you've got to understand there's some confusion. He doesn't have a dad. He doesn't know what it means to have a dad. That's not fair to that kid, no matter how much his two moms love him. All right, I'm out of time. Hey, John, stay on the line. We'll talk to you in the next hour. But I am out of time today. If you are not familiar with our website, AskDrBrown.org, go there. There are literally thousands of hours of free materials, thousands. Not only can you listen to several years of archives of the Line of Fire broadcast for free, you can go to the Real Messiah website for Jewish outreach material. You can go to Think It Through and watch our Jewish outreach TV shows that we did for 2 years. You can go to our free online resources, others, and listen to messages that were preached that will change your life. It's there for free. And I want to encourage every one of you listening, if you believe in what I'm doing, if you believe in this broadcast, would you become a monthly torchbearer? Stand with us on a monthly basis. Hold our hands up as we make a difference. We need to hear from you to strengthen what we're doing, strengthen our foundations in terms of our financial base that helps us do so much of what we do. And I want to encourage every one of you to give us a call right now and order my Spiritual Warfare series, the best teaching I ever did on this, life-changing, will impact you from the Word practically, the battle that we're in, and how to overcome in Jesus. It's only $20 plus postage, just $10 postage paid today. It's a phenomenal value, and it's life-changing. It's for your MP3 player or your computer. It's on one CD. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Everyone that can help with an additional gift, that would be awesome. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the assault against God's people in our culture is intense. It is radical and it is extreme. It cannot be met with a passive response. It must be met with a radical response of fresh and deep commitment to the Lord without compromise, regardless of cost or consequence. The assault on the family continues, and there is some outrageous censorship in America, in England. You need to hear about it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You may not care about what's happening in England, but often what happens in England is just a foretaste of what is going to happen in America. Oh, and a lot of it is happening in America today, and a lot of it is directed against the family and biblical values and fundamentals that we have lived by for millennia. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Even during the break, some emails that are being sent to me cause my holy blood to boil even more. You say, you call yourself perfectly holy? No, but there is holy blood flowing in my veins, spiritually speaking, as a child of God, identifying with the Lord, that to the core of my being, there are things that grieve me because they grieve the Lord. I want to talk to you about them today and stir your own heart to action. Again, 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. And let me just tell you what's happening in England. Developments right up to the minute here. the mayor of London is named Boris Johnson. And by the way, for those who say, oh, who cares about England? Hang on, I've got things to talk about right here in America as well. But do you remember the there's a famous group. Think if you, famous musical group. Famous rock group. Oh, yeah. That's it. The Beatles. The Beatles came over to America from England. They first performed here in 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show. A massive percentage of Americans watched that show. I was 9 years old. I watched. There was a massive cultural impact. The British Revolution, the British rock groups, these others coming over to America affected our culture and then birthed a lot of the rock scene here in America or helped push it forward or develop it. The Rolling Stones, these other groups, they were British rock bands that came over. And some of the 60s counterculture revolution that happened in America was happening already in England. So a lot of trends in England just are reflective of trends here in America. According to the mayor of London, Boris Johnson, London is one of the most tolerant cities in the world and intolerant of intolerance. So, when a few years back, Stonewall, gay activist organization, launched a major campaign with thousands of billboards, bus posters in other settings, T-shirts, and the campaign simply said, some people are gay, get over it. And then when there's all kinds of effort being made throughout England to push forward same-sex marriage, that's fine, because London is one of the most tolerant cities in the world. Now, a Christian organization puts out an ad, a billboard that's going to go on buses in England, which, again, is the place where these battles are being fought out, these ideological battles being fought out in the buses of England. They take out an ad, billboard, that says, not gay, ex-gay, post-gay, and proud. Get over it. Some people no longer identify as gay. Some people are not gay. People are proud of it. Get over it. That's it. Boris Johnson said, absolutely no. He said, it's clearly offensive to suggest that being gay is an illness that someone recovers from. Now, I'm not prepared to have that suggestion driven around London on our buses. So he nixed it. Of course, misinterpreted the ads, too. Censorship, nothing less.
is The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just a reminder to all of our friends listening in North Carolina, we have a sacred responsibility to vote yes to marriage on May 8th. Even if you have no intention of voting, primaries, or anything else, sacred responsibility to vote yes for marriage. Vote for the marriage amendment May 8th. Everyone living in North Carolina, can I ask you to call several of your friends, all of you listening, and say, are you voting yes for marriage on May 8th? If not, urge them to. There are some reports of gay billionaires and others pouring in a ton of money in the next few weeks into North Carolina to influence the vote. And I can assure you, if there are ads that run, they will be effective in convincing many people who are ignorant of the facts. And there will be scare tactics used and other emotional appeals, many of them based on exaggerations or even outright falsehoods or simply getting us off topic. So I urge you, everyone listening in North Carolina, pastors, this is something to tell your flock to do. This is not getting political. This is not endorsing a candidate or a party. This is endorsing what God says is best. May 8th, make sure you do that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So what's happening in England, it goes on. It goes on, friends. A man named Alexander Boot, author, critic, polemicist, according to his own website, he writes an article that it's posted on Daily Mail, which is a newspaper, widely distributed newspaper in England, and widely read online as well. He posts an article there, and this is not exactly a holy newspaper. In fact, it's good to avoid the online site because it's always got sensual pictures and things, and so it's not some Christian paper. He writes an opinion piece criticizing the mayor, criticizing Mayor Boris Johnson, and saying blatantly that attack on free speech is a sign of tolerance. How can this be? Well, there was such an outrage to his article being written that it got pulled. The opinion piece got pulled. If this is not censoring ideas and saying, no, this is something that there is no other viewpoint on. Just like we talked about what's in the schools with the day of silencing and these kinds of things where only one viewpoint is allowed. And if anyone ever dares raise the other viewpoint, they're branded as an intolerant bigot. Friends, this is happening full steam ahead in England. I'm going to share a little bit more about what's happening in England more broadly a little later in the broadcast. And in the first hour, I talked about in Rhode Island, a mural, a 17-year-old girl, not, as far as I can tell, not a Christian girl, 17-year-old girl raised in a single-parent household, student artist. She paints a mural showing a boy growing up and developing, and then in the end, he gets married, there are little wedding rings over the heads, he's married with a kid. And there was an outrage over that, people upset because they were offended. The mural did not depict the outcome for everyone. Not everyone's going to be married. You have two men or two women, or maybe who knows what. And they wanted to cover it up. They wanted to cover it up. Paint over it. Cover it up. Yeah, man and woman. Look, what a prophetic statement of the desire of many in the world to just get rid of marriage as we know it by attacking it from every different angle. And if you say, well, yeah, actually, it's the most common thing that people will grow up and get married. No, bigot. It's offensive. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, a gay activist strategy that was put forward in the 80s was to desensitize, jam, and convert. Now, it was articulated by Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, and it reflected gay activist strategies that others had been espousing for some time. And the strategy is simple, as I explain in A Queer Thing Happened to America, which if you don't have, it's must reading. Trust me, it's must reading, more relevant today than when it came out last year. The strategy I explain is simple. Take the offensiveness out of the offense. Normalize the abnormal. Make the unacceptable acceptable. legitimize the illegitimate, remove the outrage from the outrageous, take the sense of urgency out of the alarm. This way, when the alarm is sounded, people will not even hear it. Their ears will have become so accustomed to its tone that it no longer startles them, no longer alerts them, no longer wakes them up. In the words of one professor, speaking with regard to the word queer, it no longer has the hurtful and quasi-violent nature it had. According to Kirk and Madsen, if gays present themselves or allow themselves to be presented as overwhelmingly different and threatening, they will put straights on a triple red alert, driving them to overt acts of political oppression or physical violence. To desensitize straights to gays and gayness, inundate them in a continuous flood of gay-related advertising presented in the least offensive fashion possible. If straights can't shut off the shower, they may at least eventually get used to being wet. In short, the main thing is to talk about gays until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome, they write. If you can get straights to think homosexuality is just another thing, meriting no more than a shrug of the shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. Has that happened? To quote them again from a book that came out in the late 1980s, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 1990s. If you can get straights to think homosexuality is just another thing, meriting no more than a shrug of the shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. That was the first part, the strategy of desensitizing. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. John in Garden City, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, it's kind of funny. One of the best sayings that I've heard recently was somebody said, when it comes to Islam, we now tolerate intolerance. Not for Christians, but only with Islam. So it's funny. You're right on the money with all this stuff.
Yeah, and expand on that comment that with Islam we tolerate intolerance.
They were saying about America and England, about how nobody is allowed to have any other thoughts, but when it comes to Islam and their hatred, we now tolerate their intolerance. So they intolerate, they're intolerant towards the Jews and the Christians, and that's fine to us. As long as Islam.
Yeah, and John, if you think of it for a minute, if you go, say, to Saudi Arabia, they're talking about a ban on any churches, even for indigenous people groups there. You go there and you're a Christian in the military, there's an issue with bringing Bibles in to Saudi Arabia. But that's fine. That's Islam. But then, of course, on our end, we have to be completely embracing of Islam. Now, we should care about individuals and extend religious rights and freedoms to all. But you're absolutely right that you can't criticize Islam. People even speak of Islamophobia. But Islam can attack and criticize in the harshest possible ways. And it's just another symptom of what's happening in the culture, another attack from another angle. Did you have any comment about the desensitizing issue about homosexuality in the media?
Well, yeah, I did. Actually, when I heard you talking about how we need a revolution, you're so right. We need to start calling these places. We have to realize that the pen is more powerful than the sword in these situations. I saw an interview with Madonna, and somebody asked her why she does what she does. And just like you just said, she actually came out and said the more she pushes it, the more she has gay and lesbians on her videos and all these other things, the more we get used to it. She said some people might get mad, some people might be disgusted. That even before they change the channel, people that wouldn't normally watch it, maybe it'll spark something in them and they'll actually be a little turned on by it.
Mm.
But the more they cram it down our throats, the more used to it we get. That's why we have to call these places and tell them that we're furious, we're not going to watch it, and we're sick of having our kids.
Yeah, and John, the thing that we need to do is constantly recognize that that's happening. I was watching an NBA playoff game a few years ago, or it was an NBA basketball game, and it was a late night game. I'd been writing for a while, doing whatever. It's just I'm just going to chill for a few minutes, watch this game, and the break comes, you know, commercial break. And it's an ad for gay dating. You know, you're looking to connect with another guy, and here's a guy on the phone, and you want to connect. I thought, this is unbelievable. This is mind-blowing. It's bad enough that you have just the general dating thing and some seductive thing, or you got to look away, that stinks, you know. But Then it goes the next step. And if we don't say something, you say, ah, but you're knocking your head against the wall. No, we're doing it not only to be a witness to call the others to do what's right, John. We're doing it also for ourselves to make sure that we don't become desensitized, because there is a strategy. And those that believe that homosexuality is just fine and another equivalent of heterosexuality, they're not going away. The Lady Gagas and the others who are incredibly influential in culture, especially in young people, they're going to keep getting their message across. Therefore, we need to keep ourselves sensitive. Hey, John, thank you for weighing in. Back to England. It's a bigger issue than we've even presented so far. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question for you. All right. If you are unable to jog for a quarter of a mile, do you think that you'll be able to jog for 10 miles? No, obviously not. If you are unable to bench press 100 pounds, do you think you'd be able to bench press 400 pounds? No, obviously not. If you don't have the attention span to read a one-page article without being distracted, are you going to be able to read a 500-page book without being distracted? No, obviously not. What's the point I'm making? Very simply this. If we don't speak out for what is right now, when there is no prison sentence hanging over us, when there is no physical persecution coming our way, when we are not being beaten by gangs, when we are not having our houses burned down by radical Muslims, when we're not being attacked by a godless communist government forbidding us from practicing our faith, and on and on. If we're not speaking up now about important moral, cultural, social issues, when it barely costs us anything, relatively speaking, compared to our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted and killed for the gospel, what makes you think if it gets more difficult, or when it gets more difficult, we're going to stand up then? Thank you for being with us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, my joy to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Back to London. Let me get this more full report here in front of me. That's not it. Hang on. It's coming our way. No, not this one. And here we go. This is Daily Mail. Lord Carey, this is a former Archbishop of Canterbury, said Christians are being treated like bigots and face the same sort of persecution homosexuals were once subjected to. Christians, he says, have been hounded out of jobs and their values driven underground thanks to heavy-handed courts. Lord Carey said Christians are being, he also insisted the Human Rights Campaign had gone too far and was now politically driven. In direct submission to the European Court of Human Rights, Lord Carey warned that worshipers were being vilified and driven underground by the judiciary and state. His attack comes ahead of a landmark ruling on religious freedom by the Strasbourg Court on September 4th. British Airways check-in clerk Nadia Awida and nurse Shirley Chaplin claimed they were discriminated against when their employers banned them from wearing crosses to work. The court will also hear the case of a Christian registrar who refused to conduct civil partnership ceremonies, and counselor Gary McFarlane sacked for admitting he would feel uncomfortable giving sex therapy to gay couples. Oh, come on. Here's a man who's a counselor, who says, yeah, I would have a hard time giving sex therapy to gay couples. I'd have a hard time with that. And he gets fired. In submission to the court, seen by the Daily Telegraph, Lord Carey said expressions of traditional Christian values had been banned in Britain as the country became gripped by a secular conformity of belief and conduct. Christians, he said, are excluded from many sectors of employment simply because of their beliefs, beliefs which are not contrary to the public good. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Tom in Jefferson, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I wanted to say, those of us fighting the battle against this same-sex marriage, I think a lot of us feel kind of betrayed by organizations like the National Organization for Marriage when they come out and endorse Mitt Romney and refer to him as a true champion of marriage. Well, if he's a true champion of marriage, then Planned Parenthood is a true champion of the unborn, because I don't say it, he's the one who got gay marriage started in this country, and he didn't have to. He could have told the court, you don't have jurisdiction, because they didn't. Only the legislature does, and when the legislature didn't act, then he imposed same-sex marriage, and that was the first state to do it. That's when other people said, oh, well, look what they were able to do. I think we could get it started in our state.
Yeah, and Tom, let me just jump in, only because we have a bad connection. My apologies. But yes, Tom, this is a precarious situation. On the one hand, National Organization for Marriage has done so much that is positive, that is important across the country, standing for marriage, invested a tremendous amount of time, energy, resources, and has come under pretty severe attack in so many quarters for their stand. Absolutely, we appreciate what they've done, Brian Brown and Maggie Gallagher and others. At the same time, there are many who will actually use the phrase that Governor Romney was the father of gay marriage, that Amy Contrada has a 600-page book, Amy Contrada with Masked Resistance, a 600-page book called Mitt Romney's Deception, and she seeks to systematically lay these very things out, saying that he opened the door to same-sex marriage when he didn't have to. People have defended him. Some Christians have defended him, but others have come back and said, really, he did not have to do what he did. He could have stood against it when he writes letters welcoming some gay pride event for teens to the state or to the city, whatever the case would be. A lot of criticism he's going to have to overcome. So, big question. The big question, Tom, is where these national family organizations go. Obviously, the idea of third party and backing someone else and making a statement, even if we lose this election, and then having a third party candidate for the next so that it doesn't just become a matter of the political establishment. These are all major issues that are coming up. But, Tom, the only thing I'd say is let's continue to work with those who are still on the front lines of marriage. For example, here in Maryland, lived in Maryland 9 years, and of course that's gone the wrong way on this issue too. But here in North Carolina, where we've also lived for 9 years now, we have the opportunity to vote May 8th. And the National Organization for Marriage is really helping with funding, with strategizing, with advertising. They are really helping move this forward in North Carolina, standing up for marriage. So I want to appreciate their work and perhaps try to dialogue about the issues with Governor Romney. But Tom, thanks for the call. Sorry I couldn't have you say more. We're having a problem with some of the phone lines, so my apologies. But thank you for weighing in. And we need to look at what happened in Iowa. Friends, if you live in North Carolina, remember it was activist judges with a ridiculous 7-0 decision and a horrific decision when you actually read it that said marriage is not just the union of a man and a woman, be the union of two people, and overthrew the meaning of marriage in Iowa, heartland of America, in certain ways. We have the opportunity to vote in North Carolina May 8th for marriage so that no activist judge could do that. Tom, thanks for calling. Friends, may I encourage every one of you to stand with us and to be part of this broadcast by praying for us, by sharing the broadcast with others and telling them to tune in, and by sowing your financial gifts to help us reach more and more people through the Line of Fire. Call 1-800-278-9978. Ask about the special offer with our Spiritual Warfare series. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, all through the weekend, had a great weekend. I got to rest, did some great study in the book of Job. Got to stir my own heart spiritually. Some great family time with Nancy and our kids and grandkids here. And had a wonderful time at our service at Fire Church Sunday morning and preached the message. I preach once a month normally at Fire and got to bring the message. It was a wonderful, fruitful weekend. But I tell you, since Friday, I have been waiting for Monday. I have been waiting for Monday because I have been so pent up with things to share with you. And the first hour and a half, whoa, sounded like an explosion just took place. But we're still here. We are still here alive and well. And no, it was not an alien invasion. No, it was not an Islamic terrorist attack. No, it was a technical explosion that took place. Whoa. Hope your ears are okay. Was that a demonic attack against your show, Dr. Brown? I think the devil's trying to attack your show. No, I think there was a technical glitch is what happened. Sorry for that blast in your ears. 866-34-TRUTH to be with us today. 866-348-7888. 8-4. So many things have been happening, and I have been so burdened to talk to you about them that I've been waiting eagerly for this weekend. In the first hour and a half, we talked about the ongoing assault on marriage. I had a guest on, Deanna Jones, who was talking about, no, wrong name, Deanna Jones, right name, talking about motherhood, talking about the assault on motherhood, family. And we went from there, another assault on family in Rhode Island. Oh, come on. I've talked about it a few times in the show that I've just got to bring it up again. A 17-year-old girl, student artist, not a Christian as far as I can tell, from a single parent home. She paints a mural for the school. And she puts on the mural. Here's a boy growing up, and he takes a guitar and this and that, and then he graduates from school, and then he gets married, and here's husband and wife, and now he's got his own boy, and the wedding rings over their head. And there were students who were upset, and parents who were upset, and people in the school upset because that mural did not convey the outcomes for all the students. And the girl herself was concerned that she didn't want to go to the homosexual community and think she was attacking them or telling them what they should and shouldn't do. This is outrageous. So the school said, well, we're going to have to cover that part of the murder. Cover the part with the mom and dad and the boy. Cover the part of the married couple. Because that is not the outcome for everyone. Unreal. Did I say unreal? Unreal. 866-34-TRUTH. They ultimately then spoke with her and gave her some options, but she said no, she wants to leave it like that. And as far as I know, at present, it's being left who knows for how long. And then extreme censorship in England, where only one point of view can be put forward, and only one point of view is open and available. It's, you say, well, why talk about this? Because it affects your family. Because it affects your kids. I was talking to some counselors after the service at Fire yesterday, and they said as they're ministering to people with all kinds of life issues, it's amazing how many of those issues get shaped when the kids are little. It's amazing how many of those issues get shaped when the kids are you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. And just mind-boggling what actually happens in terms of development. And this counselor was saying that's why it's so critically important that we are careful about what kids are being taught in schools at early ages, because they're being influenced and impacted. So I want to go back to England. I want to tell you more about the persecution of Christianity in England and censorship in England. It's a warning for us here in America.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just sent this note. It's on Fox News, but just sent this note from Scott Volk, my colleague here at Fire. He's been on the air with me before. We've been co-workers for many years now. Just sent me... I'm going to read this article to you as I'm getting it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And then we'll go post-haste back to England. Denver man tries out to be Broncos' first male cheerleader. Did you hear about that? I'm sorry. It's very sad. It's very sad, but some stuff is so absurd you got to laugh. A Colorado man danced off against more than 200 women in a bid to become the Denver Broncos' first male cheerleader. The NFL team's judges welcomed the unlikely entry from Sasha Heppel in the first round of the 2012 tryout Sunday. "It's huge. I'm excited, totally thrilled," Heppel told KUSA before his audition. "No male has ever made it through auditions. I don't even know if a male even made it to the auditions. It's an open call, so anyone can show up and try out," a member of the judging panel said, adding that the decision on whether to accept a male hopeful would be based on his dance ability alone. I'm not defending cheerleaders. That's another sensual thing in our society that ought to go the way it's done. I mean, with the sensuality of it. Not to say you can't have modestly dressed cheerleaders cheering for teams, but the way we have it, it's sensual and all that. "It's an open call, so anyone can show up and try out," a member of the judging panel said, adding that the decision on whether to accept a male hopeful would be based on his dance ability alone. I wonder. I mean, I thought initially the guy's transgender. He's identifying as a woman, or he's claiming he is a woman or something. And no, he's going as a man. After being put through his paces, Heppel said getting the chance to perform his pro football routine was amazing, although he admitted, "I messed up a few times." The judges agreed, cutting him from the competition to cheer Peyton Manning and company at Mile High next season. "I'm a little disappointed. I gave it all I got," Heppel said, though he remained undeterred in pursuit of his dream. "I'm going to continue to practice throughout this year, and I'll be back next year." So he was cut because he made a few mistakes. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. Back in England, this is what former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Carey, said. He cites examples. British Airways check-in clerk Nadia Uweta, not sure how to pronounce the name, and nurse Shirley Chaplin claim they were discriminated against when their employers banned them from wearing crosses to work. As far as I can tell, this is part of what he wrote up. The court will hear the cases of a Christian registrar who refused to conduct civil partnership ceremonies. Why can't she act her conscience? Why can't she have freedom of conscience? No. You've got to conduct a civil partnership ceremony. This is already being played out all over America, friends, where Christians with conservative biblical convictions say, "Sorry, I cannot participate in your civil union," or "I cannot participate in your marriage." "Well, no, you're just a clerk." "Well, I'm sorry, I can't do it in good conscience." Do they have the right to do that? And then Counselor Gary McFarlane, who was sacked for admitting he would feel uncomfortable giving sex therapy to gay couples. Oh, God help us. Here's a guy, part of his counseling. I don't know how much of his counseling is with couples and giving them sex therapy and telling them how to relate better, whatever. He'd be uncomfortable doing it with a gay couple. He gets fired. So much for freedom of conscience. In a submission to the court seen by the Daily Telegraph, to read this portion again, Lord Carey said expressions of traditional Christian values had been banned in Britain as the country became gripped by a secular conformity of belief and conduct. Can I read those words again? How much do they apply to us here in America? A secular conformity of belief and conduct. Christians, he said, are excluded from many sectors of employment simply because of their beliefs which are not contrary to the public good. He claims Christians are being driven underground and are not being supported in the courts. It is now Christians who are persecuted, often sought out and framed by homosexual activists. Yes, it's the truth. Christians are driven underground. There appears to be a clear animus, clear hatred to the Christian faith and to Judeo-Christian values. Clearly, the courts of the United Kingdom require guidance. British courts had failed to stand up for Christians in case after case. By the way, I cited a lot of this in the Big Brother chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America. So those of you who have the book, check. I say a lot about England there. Those of you who don't have the book, what's your excuse? It's been out over a year. You need to read it. A Queer Thing Happened to America. And the article continues, if the rules against wearing crosses and expressing beliefs are not overturned, Christians will face a religious bar to jobs. They said there was also a drive to, quote, remove Judeo-Christian values from the public square, as courts have, quote, consistently applied equality law to discriminate against Christians. A court ruling on religious freedom in September will hear from Counselor Gary McFarlane, who was sacked for admitting he would feel uncomfortable giving sex therapy to gay couples. People of faith were being treated as bigots, Lord Carey said, adding, quote, in a country where Christians can be sacked for manifesting their faith or vilified by state bodies or in fear of reprisal or even arrest for expressing their views on sexual ethics, something is very wrong. It affects the moral and ethical compass of the United Kingdom. Keith Porteous Wood, executive director of the National Secular Society, said the idea that there is any kind of suppression of religion in Britain is ridiculous. Oh, come on, man. Come on, Mr. Porteous Wood. He continues, even in the European Convention on Human Rights, the right to religious freedom is not absolute. It is not a license to trample on the rights of others. That seems to be what Lord Carey wants to do. You gotta be kidding me. So if a woman wears a cross, a little cross to work, and that's all it was, just a you know, like a jewelry item, a cross, but as a religious symbol to her, that is trampling on the rights of others? When a counselor says, hey, I can't in good conscience, I feel uncomfortable counseling two men on how to have better sexual relationships, that's trampling on the rights of others? They're not other counselors the couple can go to? When a Christian group takes out 26 billboard ads saying not gay, ex-gay, post-gay, and proud, get over it, that's trampling on the rights of others, even though others have blasted it all over England. Some people are gay, get over it. Gay activists have done this with, here, November 2009, they took out interior bus panels on 3,500 buses saying some people are gay, get over it. And then a Christian group wants to put out their ads saying not gay, ex-gay, post-gay, and proud, get over it. Some people are not gay. Some people are ex-gay. Some people identify as post-gay. They're all proud of it. Get over it. And the mayor of London says no. The mayor of London says these will not be found on our buses. Quote, London, this is the mayor. London is one of the most tolerant cities in the world and intolerant of intolerance. It is clearly offensive to suggest that being gay is an illness that someone recovers from, and I'm not prepared to have the suggestion driven around London on our buses. Well, I didn't read that. I didn't read it said it was an illness. People recover from it. Yeah, some people do change their behavior and some people do change their desire. That does happen. They don't get to say it. Leslie Pilkington, a Christian psychotherapist who is under investigation by the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy for her therapy of homosexuals, told LifeSiteNews.com that she is not surprised that Johnson would get cold feet over such an ad. So here's a woman who's a Christian psychotherapist. A gay activist comes to her, deceiving her and saying that he's struggling with same-sex attraction and wants help. He's got tape recorders on him to record all the conversations. And she says, okay, we follow biblical principles and people can change. And she gets blasted for this, brought to court over it. She's under investigation for saying that homosexuals can change. On the one hand, she said it's shocking, such a lack of freedom of speech. But on the other, I'm not too surprised. She said Boris Johnson is very concerned to get reelected, and there's such a lot of intimidation on the part of gay activists. You just don't say the kind of things this bus campaign is saying if you want to get reelected as mayor. I think people don't understand just how political it is in the UK. Anything to do with the gay activist agenda, particularly with the marriage campaign, is political dynamite. Mrs. Pilkington related the story of a conversation with a Catholic bishop, and I'm reading from LifeSite News report, Philip Tartaglia of Paisley, Scotland, who gave the keynote address at a conference in England on religious freedom. The bishop had asked Mrs. Pilkington why there is such a lot of political power behind the homosexualist political movement. She replied, "Well, it is good to have an intellectual discussion on the impact of equalities and hate crimes legislation and related issues. At the end of the day, what it's about is intimidation and bullying and fear by homosexuals to silence opposition." She says people are afraid, so they rather agree than face opposition that is aggressive. So people who have the information, those who know about the dangers of the homosexual life, don't speak out. She said the bishop totally agreed with me. But he said he was glad that as a psychotherapist, she could say it, but he couldn't.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I played a clip from a video in the first hour. I want to play this again. You'll hear the audio because it really struck me when I saw this. It has well over 1.25 million hits on YouTube. You can search for it as Tip of the Iceberg, the Beginning of the End for Britain. But what struck me is it's the city of Luton, the first city I preached in England in 1987. I've been to England many times since, preached many parts of the country, and then also in Scotland and in Wales. But this was my first time preaching in England, started in Luton. I was struck by a prayer call from a neighboring mosque, and I thought, Luton, England? This is not like London. And even London then was not... having the Muslim presence that it has today. And it's not to say that Muslims are our enemies. It's to say that when you minimize Christianity, when you minimize biblical values, and then you give special favoritism or rights to others, be it homosexual activists, be it religious Muslims, there is going to be an impact on the society. And I was told by the pastor there that a church had wanted to purchase property for a building they were going to put up, a church building, and they were refused by the local government. But then a mosque asked for property, put up a mosque, and they were given it. And now you have the prayer calls early in the morning because this is what Islam does. It's not silent or subtle. It's going to blast things out. So a woman born and raised in Luton hears about how the city has been changing and how radical Islam is having more and more of an impact. And she very courageously goes out in the midst of this march, goes out in the midst of it and tries to talk to the people. So I want you to hear just a little bit more than what I played the first hour, where she gives some more of her own background here.
And this is Luton, where I was born. I went to school here. I even worked at the airport. And then I moved away. But now I'm coming home to find out if it's true that Muslim extremists are taking over my town. It didn't take long to witness firsthand the extremism I'd been hearing about.
All right, and she's walking down the streets just utterly amazed. You've got men in traditional Muslim garb. You've got the women covered from head to toe with just their eyes showing. They attack her. She's not dressed modestly enough, and she's dressed perfectly modestly when you look at it. She's got sleeves down to her elbows, and she's wearing a fairly long dress. And it's quite courageous to watch what she's doing as she's marching right in the midst of them and then saying, what's happened to my city? But they're chanting, UK, go to hell. British police, go to hell. And this happening right in the city of Luton. And friends, I share these things with you from England. I share these things with you that are happening in England and religious censorship, and then the rise of radical Islam, and then the continuing dominance in many ways of homosexual activism. I share these things to say America is not exempt from this. we can't just look the other way and think this is not going to intensify and this is not going to continue here in America. The only barrier, the only barrier between further decay of marriage, further decay of moral standards, further decay of societal standards, as much as things have decayed so terribly in so many ways, the only barrier against further decay is the salt and the light that God has put in the world. You and me, the people of God, living for Jesus, full of the Word of God, full of the Spirit, with moral purity, with moral wholesomeness, with righteousness of conduct and life. By the way, tomorrow we'll be talking about grace, what grace is, what grace does, and is it just a kind of a Band-Aid that's put over our sins, or does it really change us? We, friends, as changed people in our society, making a difference, that we are the only barrier. Do you understand that? We are the only ones with the power to bring about positive change. We're the only ones that can spark social, spiritual renewal. Over dinner last night, my son-in-law and I were talking and somehow mentioned Rabbi Shmuley running for Congress. And my son-in-law Ryan said to me, think that's anything you would ever want to do, run politically? I said, oh, no, definitely not. Number one, it's not my calling. Certainly not my calling. Number two, I've got enough quotes in my preaching and teaching and ministry and services. People just start to play those publicly, and that would do that because, they're spiritually committed and intense. I said, thirdly, the only way I relate is God's supernatural intervention. In other words, I don't believe we can just say, okay, we're going to have this law or that law, and that's going to improve things. Oh, have righteous laws by all means. But no, we can't just change it politically. Things must be ultimately changed spiritually. And that's why I do what I do. Last week I was just praying and kind of wrestling with some things because I said, God, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? I know you've called me to do the things I'm doing. I know you've called me to be on the radio every day. I know you've called me to write. I know you've called me to preach and to teach and to train and to equip and to go and to serve. I know you've called me to do these things, but God, are we bringing about change? I cannot live without change coming. That's what God put within my heart, to be a Jesus revolutionary, bringing radical change through the gospel. And I want to encourage you to see yourselves in the same ways. Yes, we are in a war and a battle. It's not one we fight with physical violence. It's not one we fight with hatred, intimidation, cruelty, bigotry. It's one we fight with the love of God and the truth of God and the power of God and the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We overcome evil with good. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome darkness with light. That's who we are. But friends, let's recognize we're in a battle. In fact, let me encourage every one of you listening to do this. I have 12 hours of teaching, 8 different sessions on spiritual warfare, each an hour and a half long. It used to be in audio tape form, over $30. Then we put it in CD form, so it's MP3 on CD for your computer or MP3 player, and reduce the price to $20 for this 12 hours of life-changing teaching on spiritual warfare. Well, you'll understand this is a book of war. Understand the battle we have with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Understand the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, 5 rules for God's army, the weapon of praise, overcoming the devil. God's fighting for you. We've now reduced the price this week to $10 plus we'll pay the postage. It's a fraction of what it used to cost and what it normally costs. So I encourage every one of you listening, invest in this. Your lives will be impacted and you will be much more suited for battle and an overcomer yourself. Here's the number to call or order, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. And if you can send an additional gift to help, that would be awesome. My bottom line, we are in a life and death struggle. There is an all-out hellish attack against us as the people of God. It's not time for play. It's time for war, spiritual war, the Jesus kind of war. And in Him, we overcome.